You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm wrapping up. We're going to bring in our producer, Jason Gibbs, right now for a little after further review, looking at the Browns offense.
After further review.
Gentlemen, question number one is a two-parter. Part one, the one thing I like about Josh McCown is blank.
The one thing I like about Josh McCown is his accuracy, his ability to deliver the ball to a specific receiver where they're able to catch it in stride and make a move with the ball after the catch.
Yeah, I like his accuracy. What I'm going to say is just his overall demeanor, his leadership, the way that he clearly commands the huddle, he commands his teammates, his poise. He looks like a starting quarterback, acts like one, even though he's really been with this team for a very brief period of time.
Part two, the one thing that concerns me about Josh McCown is blank.
The one thing that concerns me about Josh McCown is, and I kind of am alluding to last year, is old habits. Being reckless in the pocket, being reckless with the football, throwing interceptions, throwing the ball to the other team, which we know in Chicago he didn't, but last year he did. Slash, I have written down, his cap in talent. And when I say that is, we can all, and I think, you know, agree that he's not a supreme talent. As you said, Nathan, he's not a top 15 quarterback in the National Football League. And I think that can hurt us if he doesn't develop consistency, because I think he needs to play like a top 15 quarterback at times, but play as, the 16th best quarterback in the National Football League all year long for us to have a solid season that I think we're capable of.
I think you're right about that, and for me, it's consistency. We know that in Chicago, he had that great streak, 13 touchdowns, one interception over five games. We also know he struggled for a lot of reasons in Tampa Bay last year. I want to see him come out and be consistent, play within the offense. Don't try to force things. That's not what this offense is designed to do. Can he consistently take care of the football and make plays when they are presented to him? And if he can, I think this team is going to be much more successful than people think.
After further review.
Question number two today, guys. Rank the Browns running backs right now.
I'll use abbreviations. Crow Duke West.
And I would agree with those rankings, and I think that you've got Glenn Winston and Luke Lundy nipping at the heels down there at 4 and 5.
What about the H-back?
Malcolm Johnson?
Where does he fit into this?
He's a different position. I think that he's going to be the starter. He's going to be the starting fullback for this team.
After further review.
Question number three, guys. Who will have the bigger impact overall on the Browns this season? Dwayne Bowe or Brian Hartline?
I'm going to go and say Dwayne Bowe. And the reason why, I just have a feeling that that big body and his ability to get open in situations, the bigger catch radius, the more physical player than Brian Hartline. And as we've said, since we've signed Dwayne Bowe and really understood what this John DeFilippo offense would look like, him playing that Miles Austin type of role in this offense, he'll be asked to make the big catch more than Brian Hartline, and that's why I choose Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dwayne Bowe as well. Third downs, red zone, I think he's going to be a huge factor. And I think if Taylor Gabriel continues his ascension, it could come at the expense a little bit of Brian Hartline. I think Bowe is the guy that's locked into his role and what he's going to be asked to do right now, so I'm going to go with Bowe as well.
After further review.
Question number four. If the Browns started their season tomorrow, who would your starting tight end be?
My starting tight end.
Are we passing the ball or are we running it?
We'll go one of each. You're passing it or if you're running it.
If we're in a passing formation,
higher or lower,
it's going to be Rob Housler.
Yep.
If it's a running situation, possibly going to be Jim Dre. But what I wrote down is our starting tight end is going to be Gary Barnage, because he can do both.
Big play there.
He can do both.
He can do it all, and he doesn't drop the ball ever. And he was in a love triangle on Total Divas. Two divas vying for his affection.
It's a rough life. It's tough to be him.
And there was a Gary Barnage chant at Monday Night Raw.
Really?
Yes. Started, may or may not have been started by me and my friends.
After further review.
Final question today, guys. The one training camp battle on the offensive side of the ball that you are most looking forward to seeing come the end of July, I should say.
I've got two. and just to make things very interesting. The first one is, I think, going to be what we've already talked about, the pecking order in the running back room.
Yep.
Who's it going to be?
Yep.
Crow, West, Duke Johnson, what roles they're going to play and how much they're going to play. The other one that it's going to be, I'm going to have my eye on, is you don't draft a guy 19th overall in the NFL draft to have him sit. Cam Irving's going to play somewhere along that offensive line, so you're going to have your eye on, as you said, Mitchell Schwartz and John Greco have been put on watch, and a lot of that has to do with Cam Irving. How does he fit in that mix?
All right, so you talked about the two big ones, I think, and the third, who makes this team a wide receiver? Are the six really truly set? Does Terrell Pryor crack it? What's going to happen at that sixth wide receiver spot? Who makes this team? I think Marlon Moore is the strong front runner, but if it's not Marlon Moore, is it Rodney Smith? Is it Terrell Pryor? I think that is going to be the other one on the offensive side of the ball I'm interested to see. And I guess you could even add in the tight ends. How does it ultimately shake out? Is it big play Gare, Dre? How do they decide to go with those guys and Rob Housler mixing in there? It's nice to know that there are things that are up for grabs on this team, and that they're up for grabs between talented people, between guys who were starters, and now you're seeing if they're going to be upgraded with a new starter.
Exactly. And to make kind of bring our show full circle.
Tie it up into a bow.
As we opened up with a sense of entitlement, talking about the P. Diddy incident at UCLA,
yes.
The great thing that I think is going to work to our advantage this coming season is there's nobody offensively that's making that much money that you have to play them, you have to get your bang for your buck out of them, that they're entitled to play a certain role for this team. We don't have it at tight end. You could possibly say we have it in bow at wide receiver. We don't necessarily have it at quarterback. We don't necessarily have it at offensive line, other than the guys that deserve to play in Joe Thomas and Alex Mack.
And
but these guys, you're getting value out of them. Let them fight it out and see what works best to win football games.
That's right. See who the last man standing is. I want to thank Gil Brandt, the Godfather, for joining us. If you missed that interview, I would definitely recommend picking it up on the Cleveland Browns mobile app or clevelandbrowns.com. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. They're up next here on ESPN 850 WKNR for our great producer, Jason Gibbs, and Super Bowl champion, NCAA champion, Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by the good folks at Liberty Ford.
Yes, indeed.
Love my Explorer.
God, F-150 is good.
Love Imagine Dragons.
God, it's good. Love Bar.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.